we are going to wrap up our series today on boldness as we head towards Easter next week. And man, I'm praying that God will challenge our hearts, and you will leave here being bolder and praying for more boldness than you ever have thought possible in your life. Just before we get there, I do want to mention a couple things. You might notice some differences. Sometimes people go, "Ah, something different. I'm not sure what's different." We got rid of the steps that were here in front. So I've had people praying for me all week because, you know, I like to walk down the steps. So I actually came in last night and practiced walking back and forth without going down. So I told the first service, "Look, if I fall off, it'll be okay. All right, I'll just get back up and keep going. Don't worry." But we're doing that here. Let me tell you why we did that. We got, and I don't even know if you can tell, we put 40 more chairs in here so that we could have space. Because we're a church, remember, we're always thinking about, as long as there's one more out there who needs Jesus, we're going to make space. So it gave us a little more room in here. We've had to set out chairs every Sunday and during this service and often in the one that follows. And so we just wanted to make a little more space. We thought this was a great way to pick up a few seats. So the challenge is, now there's 40 more seats, so let's fill them up, right? Let's start bringing people to come. Also with this, we are one signature away from just our total renovation. Something in DeKalb County, we got one more sign off to get, and we are ready. So we're praying in the next week, we'll get that signed off, and then after Easter, I and I'm telling you this because I want you to know, this place is going to be a mess, but it's going to be a good mess. It's going to be crazy, there, because we're doing a major renovation. Everybody for about 4 or 5 months is going to be in this building. We're going to bring all of our kids over. They're going to be right downstairs below us. So you may show up on a Sunday and part of the parking lot is closed off. The door you normally use, you can't go in. It's going to be a little more hassle checking your kids in. I just want you to know, because here's what happens. When all of this stuff is going, and it's all good stuff, it's stuff we've been praying for a long time. But what will happen is the enemy will start working and we'll start getting a little unsettled. And we'll be like, "Well, you know, it's just tough, and I don't, and I can't, and it's not my," and you know, and what happens is then we start to feel like, "Well, I'll just wait," or, you know, "Well, church just doesn't feel like it used to." Well, here's news. It's never going to feel like it used to feel, all right? We're getting ready to move forward into what God has for us, and it's just part of life. But I tell you that because I know how people, I've been doing this for a long time, I know how I am. And it's easy to get frustrated. And when we're frustrated, what happens? We get our feelings hurt, right? "Well, they didn't tell me about this. And where is this? And I don't know." We will do our best. But we're going to miss stuff, you know? So there's going to be some surprises and all that. I'm just asking you to pray, be flexible, be excited. Anytime you feel frustrated, here's my prayer. Go ahead and validate that. We're going to feel frustrated. It's part of it. But anytime you feel frustrated, let it just trigger something in your mind to say, "Yeah, you know why I'm frustrated? Because God, people are getting saved here at Mountain West. Lives are being changed, and we're not going to stand in the way of what God wants to do." All right? So I just want to validate that. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk a lot more about what's getting ready to happen and what's going on. But I just wanted to let you know, because there's already some changes. We've rented a space across the street. We're going to have some of our groups meeting over there. We're going to lean in the direction of our children. So if you have children, you've been around children, I believe you'll say, "You know what, that's good." We're going to make sure they're safe, they're protected. So we're going to close off the downstairs to adults on Sundays, and it's gonna be different. But it's just the way we are. I'm going to push on you as adults. You know, you can drive, right? You got homes, a lot of you. You have a place where you could say, "You know what, I'll just have the group over here, or we'll meet over here," just for a couple of months. And as we go through this, I think we're going to see God do some amazing things. He prepares us for what is next in the life of Mountain West. So I just want to put all of that out there, because it's already, if you walk downstairs today, you're going to notice there's like walls missing and there's dust on the floor, and a room that used to be brown is now like really bright blue. You know, so you're going to be like, "What's going on?" I just want you to know it's good, good stuff. So as we get ready to go into that, as we get ready to celebrate Easter at the end of our service, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion together. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about praying boldly as we wrap up our series on boldness. So grab your outline there in your bulletin, and we're going to work our way through this as we just look at what's going on in the lives of believers, and maybe take a challenge from these early believers in how they were living out their faith. Maybe allowing it us to encourage us and to spur us on and challenge us to be bolder in our lives. I put this thought down in my notes. What you pray for reflects what you believe about God. You ever thought about that? What you pray for reflects how your relationship with God, how you believe God is in your life, what you believe God wants to do in your life, what you believe God wants to do here in the world. For example, if you don't pray at all, it says a lot about your belief in God, right? And your thought of God's activity in your life and in this world. If you pray really small prayers, you know, just little tiny prayers, like, you know, just like, God, thank you, and, you know, help me through this day, then maybe you believe God only really cares about small stuff, and he only wants to do little things. If you pray prayers that are only centered on yourself, bless me, help me, comfort me, be with me, that reflects that you think God is here to serve you, right? I mean, think about it. When you think about your prayers, if that's all you're asking for, then somehow you're thinking, well, this relationship with God, he's just here to do what I need. And I want to tell you, one of the problems with that prayer, not only is it just selfish, is when God doesn't work the way you think he should work, or he doesn't answer the prayer that you think he should answer, the way you think he should answer, then you just go, well, I'm just going to give up on God. He must not be real. He didn't answer my prayer. And yet what we don't realize is maybe that's a view of God that's really not the way God wants to be in our lives. He didn't really come to serve us. Or if you think about it and you hear people talking about prayer, maybe you've said, I know I've said things like this before, like things will just be going crazy and you'll be like, well, we've done all we can do. All we have left to do is pray. And I think, how do I think that makes God feel? You know, God's like, so you did all you can do, huh? And all you got left is to pray. Well, sorry. You know, I mean, I'm just the God of the universe, and now you just figure maybe you'll come around me. I mean, it's just so much in our mentality that I don't think we grasp the power of this relationship God wants to have with us and the power of our prayer. So I put this down there on your outline, just a couple of lines, because I want you to write down, if you can think as we talk in these next couple of minutes, I want you to write down what you prayed about in the last week. Think about it just for a minute. Write down three or four things that I prayed for. And if you can't think of anything, again, you know, maybe it just speaks to where you are with God. You say, well, I didn't really pray for anything. I can't think of anything. Maybe some of you go, well, I prayed for this. I prayed for that. I prayed for this. I prayed that. Just write down a couple of things that come to your mind that you prayed for in the last week. And I want to ask you this question as you're thinking about that. If God answered yes to all your prayers in the last week, right? If God just said, yes, you got it. Stamp, done. Yes. Mary, yeah, you got it. Yes to everything you prayed for in the last week. What would be different in the world today? If God answered yes to all your prayers, what would be different? Now, chances are, and look, this isn't to make you feel bad, because all of us are in this same area, because it's just kind of what we get caught up in. Chances are, if God answered yes to all your prayers, things would be very different in your life and those closest to you, just your little sphere, right? If God answered yes, like if you're single and you're praying for somebody out there to come into your life, I mean, this last week, you know, tall, dark, and handsome, or beautiful and wonderful, super Christian, you know, there they would be, right? Because, you know, we had Lady Space, she's praying for a tall, dark drink of water, I think is the way she put it, and there he would be, right? You know, I mean, if God answered all your prayers, your marriage would be better, you'd have gotten that promotion, the car would be fixed, you know, good stuff. Somebody that near you that needed healing would be healed. Think about that. If God answered all your prayers, what would be different in the world? Do they go beyond you and just the needs that you have? And so this is what we're doing. We're looking at the book of Acts. We've been looking at this the last couple of weeks. And let me bring you up to speed, because we're going to look at a prayer that the early church prayed. And right up to this point, Jesus has given his life for us, right? He's been crucified. He died. It's already had, the resurrection has already taken place. He's met with his disciples. He told them, go and wait, because God's going to send the Spirit. The Spirit of God's going to be in you. That's already happened. Peter's gotten up. This Peter that ran from Jesus, you know, just a short time before, has gotten up now with this extra boldness and preached a message. And he said, you need Jesus. You know, you're corrupt and you're going in the wrong direction. And the same Jesus that you crucified is risen from the dead, and put your life in his hands and you'll be changed. The Bible says 3,000 people came to Jesus at that moment. So all of this is going on. And Peter and John are going by one day, and they walk by one of the gates to the temple, the gate called Beautiful. And there's this lame man. He's been crippled for like 40 years. And they're having a conversation with him, and they say, well, we don't have a lot. What we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the guy gets up, and he starts walking, and I imagine he probably didn't walk. He probably danced and jumped and ran, and he's telling everybody about this. Well, now people are interested in what's going on. You can imagine, here's a miracle right before our eyes, and they're talking about Jesus, and Jesus has been risen from the dead. And so what they do is they pull Peter and John in before the high religious court, because they didn't like what was going on. They were trying to push the whole Jesus thing off and don't talk about him. And at that time, the court's called the Sanhedrin. It was made up of mostly these religious leaders called Sadducees. And Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. And so not only did they not like Jesus, this was something they totally were teaching against. As a matter of fact, the way I remember that, when I was a kid, I had a Bible class, a Bible teacher, and they said, you know, the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, so therefore they were sad, you see. So, for whatever it's worth, just never forgot. You know, and so all of this is going on in their lives, and so they pull these guys and they start quizzing them, and what are you doing, and who's, and Peter and John with boldness say, this same Jesus who you crucified, God has raised him from the dead. And so people are following him, and I imagine they probably didn't know exactly what to do, because they couldn't just put these guys away. I mean, there's a man who's been healed that's been running around, so they were probably afraid of a revolt or all of this would just explode. So they get onto Peter and John, they correct them, and they send them out never to talk about this again, right? I mean, calm it. That's it. If you do, there will be trouble. So they send them out. And that's where we pick up on your outline. Acts 4, verse 23. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, right? Back to the community of faith, the followers of Christ. And they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. You know, I mean, they threatened us. They told us they would kill us. They told us we better be quiet. They're going to put us all in jail. They're going to scatter us. Whatever they might have told them. And here's what happened. When they heard this, here's what the Christians did. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. So there is something incredibly powerful when a group of people get together and pray together. Now, I hope you pray a lot on your own. But something happens when you get with other believers and together you begin to pray. And you begin to pray out loud. Because your faith may be weak. And you get in that moment and somebody else is praying and your faith like kind of climbs on the back of their faith. And you're like, you know what? You're right. And I agree. And something goes on and God does. So he tells us in the Bible where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. It says, when any two agree upon any one thing, touching heaven, God will move. Something powerful. So this is what's going on. They go back to the community of faith, and the community of faith says, you know what? We're going to go to God and we're going to pray. Here's what they say. Sovereign Lord. All right, so starting this off, God, you're it. You are over all of this. It is all in your control. You are going to work out your plan, right? That's what sovereign means. Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So there's, it's like they're just refocusing everything they are back on who God is, and that God, you're in control, and God, here's what you've done. And they're kind of reminding God of all this. Now think about it. Do you think God needed to be reminded of who he is? You know, I mean, you think God went like, oh yeah, I forgot. You know, I forgot. I did all, thank you guys for reminding me. Now, you know what was going on? They're getting perspective. They're getting their heart right. God didn't forget. But sometimes it's easy for us to kind of forget that God's got a plan, that God's working this out. And so they're telling God about God, but what's happening is their hearts are changing and their minds are changing and they're getting their lives centered on this God that they worship and on who he is. So in verse 29, we're going to ask God to make us bold, because this is what I hope that we pick up from this, that no longer are we a church or a group of people that we don't fall towards being nominal or being lukewarm, but in a culture that just like then, that so desperately needs people full of faith, living this out with boldness that makes a difference, just like back then, we live in a time that so needs the church to rise up and be the people God has called us to be. So this is what's going on, and I pray that these kind of prayers become our prayers. Now, Lord, they said, consider their threats. We don't know what all they were, but that's about all they said about it. And consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So I was thinking about that prayer. That's what they prayed. After all of this has gone on, that's what they prayed. So I'm thinking about that prayer, and here's what first came to my mind. Was a few things that they did not pray. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm like arrested and beaten and then threatened and then sent away, there'd be some things I'd be praying for that I didn't read in this prayer. Right, here's one. They did not pray for safety. I don't know about you. I'd be praying for safety. You know, hey, God, don't forget. You know, I don't like to be arrested, and I don't want to be put in jail, and I don't think that's how you want. God, keep me safe. Now, listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with praying for safety. I pray for the safety of my family. Pray for the safety of my friends. The Apostle Paul prayed for safety in the Bible for his trips, for the followers of Jesus Christ. I just found it interesting that at this time, when all of this has gone on, that wasn't in their top 10 list. They didn't pray for God to keep them safe. Here's another thing they didn't pray for. They didn't pray for comfort. They didn't pray, God, just kind of make this all work out, you know. To you, God brings, and the scripture says, you know, God will bring all things about to bring glory to him. But they didn't seem to be all that worried about their comfort. Now, again, I don't know about you. I hear a lot of people pray, and I can catch myself praying a lot for my own comfort. You know, God, help me keep my life in balance and take care of me and give me a better house, a better car, a better job, a better marriage, make my kids good, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that's wrong. The Bible says we're to bring everything to God. It's just, if we're not careful, we can lean in that direction to where that kind of becomes the sum total of our prayers. Here, I challenge you to this. I challenge a lot of times when I lead a small group, I challenge them to do this. For the next week, as you get ready to pray, get a pencil and a piece of paper and write out your prayers. Okay? Nothing unspiritual about it, okay? Just as it comes to your mind, as you would say it, just write it down, because I'm telling you, it is awakening to go back and read what you prayed for over a week, because you might go, I didn't even really know that's all I prayed about. I didn't know that's all I asked God about, that they were so centered on me, or it was just to bless me. But I don't read that in here. I don't read that they were that concerned about their comfort. I don't read that they were praying for victory. Lord, you said you were an overcomer, and we're going to be an overcomer, and Lord, give us victory. They didn't even pray for that. They just said, consider their threats. And God, here's what we want you to do in us. They didn't pray for victory. They didn't pray for revenge. To me, they'd had every right? I mean, this was a group of people that had Jesus crucified. They were trying to squelch this. They were trying to put it down. They had them arrested. I mean, wouldn't it have been easy to just go, God, get them? You know, now I don't know about you. I don't know if you ever prayed for revenge. Sometimes in the book of Psalms, you can read about David, King David. It sounds like sometimes he's praying like, God, go get them. You know, I don't know what they're doing. To be honest, there's been some revenge I pray for. I know God says revenge, leave all that up to him. But sometimes you just go, come on, God. You know, this ain't right. Would you go and just, you know, wipe them out, whatever. That, here they are in this moment. They don't even pray against the people, put Jesus to death and had them arrested. I just found that enlightening. And so again, I want to be careful, because I'm not saying to pray for these things to lay our needs before God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, what was different about what was going on in the world and these guys' prayer and our prayer life? So I think in all the things they didn't pray for, and I thought, okay, well, what did they pray for? And so there's basically three things that they prayed for. Here's what they prayed for. Number one, they prayed for boldness. Enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. Now, I was thinking about that, and I thought, isn't that what got you in trouble in the first place? That y'all were kind of bold? And truthfully, you go, what do you need to be bolder about? I mean, you're already getting arrested. How much more boldness do you need? And yet they knew sometimes when things don't go exactly their way, it's easy to react in fear. And so they think, God, make us even bolder. And so I thought, have you ever prayed for boldness? Have you ever asked God in the middle of all that's going on to make you, and maybe we just go, well, never really thought about it. Maybe we would say, oh, I don't know. When I think about it, it's kind of scary. I like the side of God that kind of blesses me and keeps me comfortable. And I got to tell you, to pray for boldness is a very other-centered prayer. Because to pray for boldness is not necessarily to pray for myself. To pray for boldness doesn't mean that everything's going to go okay. As a matter of fact, a lot of times praying for boldness will get you into a little bit of trouble, because you begin to live your life out loud. You begin to have the courage to speak up. And so this is what's going on. It's a very other-centered prayer. Boldness typically doesn't help us. Boldness is for someone else, to help them know the love of God through Jesus Christ. And again, if I'm honest, a lot of times, I was thinking back just through, you ever think back at some of this crazy stuff you pray? You know, I was thinking about some of the stuff I prayed for, and some of it's good. And some of it, you know, I was thinking, I can remember one time in high school, yeah, you know, I was taught, pray about everything. I remember, you know, I was praying, God, you know, let this pimple go away before the prom. You know, I mean, that was like as a teenager, that was the biggest concern in my life. You know, I mean, I know, God, you want to do stuff in life, but Lord, this is really ugly. You know, and if we're not careful, that kind of carries on throughout our whole life. Which just about, God, bless me, do this in me. God, free me from this. God, protect me, keep me safe. And here's the church, when God is moving, that they've gotten a hold of something different, and they begin to pray an other-centered prayer, like, use me today, God. Use me for your glory. Make me bold. Stir me up. Give me eyes to see the needs of those that are hurting, those that are around me that I work with. Give me a heart that's sensitive to those that need you, God. Give me a prompting in the Spirit to minister, to reach out, to share your love, to share your word with them. Listen, you begin to pray bold prayers. Watch out, because God may give you the opportunity to be bold. I think that's what he's longing for in our times, a group of people, individuals that would say, God, make me bold. Here's the next thing they prayed for. They prayed for healing. They prayed for healing. They said, stretch out your hand to heal. Now let me tell you why this is a bold prayer. This is a bold prayer because so many times we're just afraid to pray for healing. We don't understand it. We don't know about it. We're not sure what to say. And a lot of times, if we're honest, we're afraid to pray for it because what happens if somebody doesn't get healed? Like, we're going to make God look bad. Or maybe more likely, we're going to look bad. So let me free you to pray for healing for people, okay? You can't heal anybody anyway, right? I mean, you don't have the power in your own self to pray for somebody and they be healed. So the results are all up to God. So you don't need to walk around and try to drum up some kind of supernatural faith. You don't have to have all these words. You know, you don't have to wring their head around and their necks. And, you know, because it's not in us to have that power. It's not of us to have that power. It's the power of God. Now listen, I don't know why God has chosen, but God chooses to work through us. So what does he tell us in the Bible? He says to pray. He says, and don't be afraid to pray for somebody. You can pray simple. You know, don't pray one of those wimpy, like, you know, God, if you choose, and maybe if you don't, and we really don't know, and Lord, whatever, you know, just pray simple. God, you said in your word that you heal people, and Lord, I'm praying. God, I'm asking you to heal this person. It doesn't really have to be any more than that, but don't back off from that, because this is what the early church prayed, because they knew, they had just watched a guy be healed, and they knew what it did in the community. All of a sudden, everybody's hearing about this God that does miracles and heals people, and the word of God went forth like never before. So why don't people get healed all the time? I don't know. What happens if you pray and they don't get healed? I just say, you know what? The results aren't up to me anyway. All I've been called to do is pray. So let's be bold like that. Let's just pray and leave the results up to God. Who knows what God might do? So they prayed for boldness, they prayed for healing, and here's the third one, they prayed for miracles. And perform miraculous signs and wonders. Now listen, does this sound like your prayer life? I got to admit, I'm reading through this and I'm thinking, I don't know that sounds like my daily prayer life. I'm much more on the other end, you know, oh God, here we go, it's another week, and you know what we need, and help me, and, you know, and I got a middle schooler, so I'm praying a lot, you know, God, please get a hold of him, and, you know, and I think, man, when's the last time that I just said, God, make me bold, Lord, and stretch forth your hand and heal, and God, you do the miraculous. I think that's what God is looking for, is people who don't have this little tiny God in a box who's there to serve them, and we kind of keep him over here and pull him out when we need him and kind of stuff him back in the box. I think it's opening our lives up and saying, God, you are huge. And God, whatever you want to do in this world, Lord, you go ahead and you do it. And at the end of the day, we're going to give you all the credit because we know it's not us anyway. But we're going to pray big prayers. We're going to pray bold prayers. We're going to pray prayers that make a difference in this world. And I think sometimes our prayers are just small. I think about it. You get down and you pray, and God, thank you for this day. And God's like, you're welcome, you know? God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this day. You've been praying that for 43 years. You're welcome, you know? And God, I just pray, and I don't know, I pray this too. God, would you just be with me? And God says, I already promised. Be with you. So I promise I'll never leave you, but I'll be with you. You know, God, just be with me. God's like, I'm with you. And then, I don't know, I pray this in my family too. Nothing wrong with it. We say, God, would you just give us traveling mercies? I got to be honest, I'm not sure what that means, but we pray it. You know, and sometimes I think maybe God's going, buckle up your seatbelt, drive the speed limit. That's a good start. You know, I'm with you. You know, I'll be with you. And then we go, and God, here's my list of needs. Amen. And I just think, man, if God were to answer all our prayers, what would be different in the world today? Would we see a change through the way we pray? And so I got to tell you, the last couple of weeks, as I've been preparing for this, I'm like, God, change me. Change the way I pray. Make me a bold prayer who's not afraid to ask, because the results aren't up to me anyway. And I promise, God, when you do something, it's not going to be because of me. I already know it. And so you're going to receive all of the glory. Ask God. Pray bold prayers. Here's the result. Let me go through this real quick. The result of their prayer. All right, so they begin to pray bold prayers. Not only is God moving in the community, but when a community of faith begins to pray boldly and gets their eyes off of themselves and just our own individual needs, something begins to happen. So listen to this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So the first thing that happens is everybody became bold. Not just Peter and John. They weren't just praying, God, make them bold. It says everybody began to speak the word boldly. At that time, maybe there were like 10,000 followers of Christ. Can you imagine the difference? Now you got 10,000 people that are bold. All the believers were in one heart and mind. What is that? Unity. You know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the spirit of unity. So when there's not unity, guess who's missing? The Spirit of God. Can you imagine 10,000 people in unity of one heart and one mind? What could stop them? Can you imagine 800 of us at Mountain West with one heart and one mind that says, we're going to reach this community for Jesus Christ. And God, we're praying to make us bold and stretch forth your hand and heal and do miracles. Can you imagine the difference that we could make through him? No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that had. A community that prays is a generous community. Where they look around and they say, how can I help? How can I walk through life with you? What I have is yours. What can I share with you that none of them had need? With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Would it not be incredible if your words had power? Wouldn't that be awesome? To where the next time you're sharing your faith with your family, your friends, your coworker, your schoolmate, or whatever, you were just talking about Jesus, and it was almost like they could feel your words. Where they're going, wow, there's something different about you. Man, that's kind of drawing me. I want to know more about that. This is what's going on with a church that prays bold prayers. God fills our words with power. And I love this last one. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. When we get united and when we pray bold prayers, God's grace begins to work through our community. And I got to tell you, I need a lot of grace. And I am so thankful for God's grace. And we are so dependent as a community and as individuals on the grace of God. And he says, when you begin to stop being selfish and inward and only focused on me and get your mind out and begin to pray bold prayers, he says, man, my grace will be all over you. And it'll be at work in our community. So my encouragement, my hope is that we will pray bold prayers. They were living extraordinary lives that could only be explained by the power of God. So around here is what we're going to do. We're going to pray bold prayers. I'm challenging you this week for the rest of your life. Pray boldly. Ask God for you. And when God shows up and does something, listen, turn around and say, it really didn't have anything to do with me. I just prayed. It's all God. Give him all the credit. But here's the other side. If God doesn't answer the way that you think he should, God is still God. And we are not going to allow it to shake our faith because we believe he is the sovereign creator of the universe. And we're going to pray bold prayers because that's what he has called us to do. Will you bow your heads with me?